Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard the Eastern Airlines radio show.
Every Friday from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m. we are on the air and coming to you live from our Eastern Airlines talk radio studios in beautiful Ponte Vedra, Florida. You don't know where Ponte Vedra, Florida is? We're a suburb of Jacksonville and about halfway between St. Augustine and Jacksonville on U.S. 1. It's been kind of rainy here for the last few days, but we'll take the rain from what some of our northern listeners have had to dig out from. We believe we're going to have a lively show tonight since our focus is on humor, Eastern-type humor. Now, let me give you our call-in phone number. Margaret?
That number is area code 213-816-1611. Let me repeat that again. Area code 213-816-1611. And don't forget, our seventh caller will receive tonight's special Eastern prize. Also, let me give you the website. It's www.ealradioshow.com. If you cannot get online, try our other website, www.blogtalkradio.com/CAPTEDDIE, and that would be for Captain Eddie. And this will take you directly to the player for tonight's Eastern Airlines show.
We're sorry that some of you experienced difficulties getting onto the website this past week. We apologize for that. We think the problems have been corrected now, but if you still have problems signing in, please email me, host@ealradioshow.com. And we'll try to see if we can work through your problem. Now, let's join the crew of Eastern One who have reached their layover in Los Angeles. We join them now as the show opens with the captain in the lobby of the Los Angeles Marriott listening to Hop Harrigan.
Presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
X4 calling control tower, the X4 calling control tower, standing by.
Control tower, back to the X4, wind southeast, ceiling 1200, all clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Hi, Captain, listening to another Hop episode, I see.
I'm afraid so, Bud. I'm hooked again on those old Hop Harrigan recordings. I had several of them put on my MP3 player and thought I might listen to one while waiting for you guys. Is Margaret with you?
No, she said she'd be across the street at the bike rental place reserving our bikes. Let's mosey on over.
Hey, guys, you're just in time to pick out your favorite color and speed.
Oh, I see the one I want. That silver American Flyer over there. It looks like a great single speed, and I need the exercise. And look, it even has a...
I'll take the 3-speed. Any color but pink. Margaret, what happened to those two other crew members that wanted to go?
I'm not sure. I guess they just wanted to get some extra sleep, and maybe they didn't want to pedal around all day. Okay, did you guys remember that today is Dutch Treat of Course Day? I like to refer to it as DT... O.C., get it? Dutch Treat, of course.
Oh, Margaret. Really clever, Margaret. Really clever. 2 hours have passed.
Hey, guys, wait up, wait up. Boy, I wish I'd have picked that three-speed, but I'm huffing and puffing on the singles. We're not too far from the Irish pub, thank God. It's the same ownership as the one in the 7th Avenue in New York. Lots of airline crews from around the world go there. I like to go there on my layovers and talk to some of the international crews.
I bet they have great Guinness on tap.
Do flight attendants get to go there as well?
Yeah, they have a great buffet of Irish foods you can select from. I like the corned beef and cabbage plates. Hey, we're here. Now, I must tell you, this is a noisy restaurant. Usually, big crowds. So let's go in and see if there's anyone we know. Hey, I see a guy over there. It looks like a captain from Aer Lingus that I met a few months back. I'll go over and say hello. If you guys will excuse me, I'll be right back.
I don't believe it. That looks like Luann Wiggins from my hometown in Kentucky.
Where's that, Margaret?
Oh, bud, you probably never heard of it, although it does have a connection with an old TV show. Actually, I'm from Hazard, Kentucky. Do you remember the Dukes of Hazard show?
Sure do. My favorite back in those days. Yeah, especially Daisy Duke. Wow. Hey, how are you introducing me? You going to introduce me to your friend if she is really your old friend?
Let's do it. Luann Wiggins? Oh, my goodness, is that you, Margaret? What in the world are you doing here? I haven't seen you since high school. What you been doing with yourself, girl? Well, I'm a flight attendant with Eastern Airlines. I've been flying for the Wings of Man now for, about 7 years. Well, bless your heart, I'm flying too as a flight attendant for Air Kentucky. I'm just having a ball. Isn't it fun being a stew? Well, Luann, it certainly is challenging. You won't believe the crazy woman we had on the flight coming into L.A. yesterday. It's a long story. I'll tell you about it later on the phone or over the Internet, but let's be sure to give each other our contact information. Well, honey, I'm sure you can't top my story. You should have been on our plane yesterday. This here woman asked me for a menu. Can you believe it, a menu? She said she was a first-class passenger, and she wanted to know what today's special was. So I says, well, it's the same as it is every flight, a ham sandwich and a salad. So she smarted back to me and said, pray tell, what kind of dressing comes with that salad? So I says, well, excuse me, but would you like ranch or French with your salad? She commenced to laughing at me and said I talk funny. So I simply said, well, ma'am, joke's on you because we don't got no first class. This here's a discount airline. You're lucky we caught a tailwind and made it to California. Luann, you're right. I couldn't top that story in a million years. By the way, let me introduce you to Bud. He's the first officer on our flight.
Nice to meet you, Luann.
Ew, you kind of cute. Are you single? I just broke up with my sailor last week on account of the fact that he wasn't very bright. I once asked him to check out my computer, and when I came home, he had the monitor up on blocks.
As a matter of fact, I am single, Luann. Oh, I see the captain over there. He's motioning me to come over. I'll be right back. Excuse me, girls.
Hey, Bud, come on over. I want to introduce you to Captain Mick O'Malley with Aer Lingus. I met Mick over in New York at the Irish pub. Bud, this is Mick O'Malley.
Pleased to meet you, Captain. Ah, yes, me boy. The pleasure be all mine now.
How was your trip across the pond, Mick?
It was a great trip across the pond. Flight was all right, but we except some crazy cabin crews. I've got a senior cabin attendant. Her name's Catherine. Pretty girl on the outside, but when you talk to her, you can tell that she's been a sergeant major. She has a knack about her, though. She can talk to the passengers and tell them to take a flying leap, and you can stand there and watch them go right over your head. She was standing in the door the other day, greeting the passengers on the flight, and a tall man came in, and he bent over to get into the cabin. He hit his forehead on the door jamb, knocked him back 2 steps. When he got up, his hand was on his forehead, his face was red, and he was angry. And he yelled at Catherine and said, you better put a sign up there. calmly Catherine said to him, "You know, if you can't see the door, you're not going to see the sign."
Mick, you know, I was over in Ireland last year and visiting Ireland and driving around the countryside. And, of course, not knowing the roads, I was always stopping to ask for directions. And I guess you have a lot of that from tourists and foreigners coming in.
Oh, we do. The Irish people are really nice, you know. They're very friendly, but to get out to the farmers, sometimes they don't want to be bothered. I remember them telling the story about the American that came knocking on the door and asked the farmer, he said to him, "Excuse me, farmer, does this road go to Dublin?" The farmer said, "No, this road stays right here." He said, "No, you don't quite understand." He said, "Can I take this road to Dublin?" He says, "I don't see why. Dublin has enough roads of their own." He's funny. And then another farmer I had, I was talking to him over the fence one day, and he said he had just lost his bull. It had fallen into a hole. He said, "I had to shoot it." I said, "Did you shoot it in the hole?" He says, "No, I shot it in the head."
And Mick, let's go over and let me introduce you to our senior flight attendant, Margaret.
Yeah, I don't think, Margaret looks like Margaret and her friends coming over here.
Margaret, I want you to meet a friend of mine, Captain Mick O'Malley from Aer Lingus.
Hi, Captain Mick. It's really nice to meet you. Allow me to introduce to you an old classmate of mine. This is Lou Ann Wiggins. Captain Mick, did anyone ever tell you that you talk funny? But I kind of like it, though. Are you single?
To be sure I am, lass.
Hey, Luann, I thought we were going to ask you to go out for espresso.
Well, I'm sorry, bud, but I think I've taken a sudden liking to that there fancy man with Aer Lingus.
Folks, tune in for the continuing saga of Aer Lingus meets Air Kentucky. You know, in the long history of Eastern Airlines, humor played an interesting, albeit minor, background part. Those hundreds of situations, occurrences, reactions, and remarks that we enjoyed hearing about, I realize that some of those stories have been retold 1,000 times over the years, so that in repeating them, I'm breaking the cardinal rule of not telling a story to people who have already heard it. But my purpose is not to provoke a belly laugh, but rather to rouse a twinge of nostalgia. As we get older, most of us prefer low-key humor, or as Hiawatha might have said, sort of a mini ha-ha. It looks like we've got some callers on the board right now, and so let's take our call. But before we do, let's give the phone number out one more time before we take our first caller.
Yes, that is area code 213-816-1611. Or as Luann would say, that's area code 213-816-1611.
Caller, you're on the air. Thanks for calling us. Hello, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me? Go ahead, Carl.
This is Steve Thompson. Am I on the line?
You're on the line, Steve. Welcome back.
Hi, Neil. Thank you. I noted that the theme tonight is humor, and I recalled a story that was told to me by one of my classmates when he was flying from Atlanta to Houston, and I hope this doesn't offend any of the blonde female listeners here, but he was telling me of an incident where on the flight, the flight attendant came up and told him of a passenger who had a coach ticket, had a coach seat, and she just got her things and moved up to first class, and she went up to the passenger and said, "Ma'am, you have a coach ticket and you can't sit up here in first class." So the passenger promptly informed her that she was blonde, she was 21, and she was going to Houston, and she would not move at all. So the flight attendant went up to my classmate, who was the captain, and said, "Captain, this lady has, with a coach ticket, has moved up to first class, and I can't get her to move. And my friend, the captain, said, well, I'll go back and talk to her. He goes back, talks to her, and says, ma'am, you have a coach ticket, and you can't move up here to first class. You'll have to move back to the coach section. She said, I am blonde, I am 21, and I'm going to Houston. She wouldn't move. He then went back to the cockpit, and the co-pilot said, Captain, what's the problem? He said, well, this lady has moved up to first class with a coach ticket, and I can't get her to move back. She tells me she's a blonde lady. And the co-pilot said, oh, did you say she's blonde? He said, oh, I'm married to a blonde, and I speak blonde, so I'll go back and talk to her. He goes back, whispers in her ear, and she promptly gathers up her things and moves back to the coach section. And the co-pilot goes back up front, and my friend who's the captain says, what did you say to her to get her to move back to the coach section? He said, well, I just told her the first class doesn't go to Houston.
Now, that wouldn't have been an Eastern flight attendant. That was Brand X flight attendant, I believe. But great call, Steve. Thanks so much for calling. We've got one caller.
Okay,
and thanks. Call us again next week.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Hey, Neil?
Yes.
Hey, Jerry Frost from Atlanta.
Hey, Jerry. How are you?
Just fine. Enjoying the show. Gosh, it's already your third episode. That's fantastic.
I hope we're getting a little bit better.
Well, you certainly are. And I can tell you're getting more and more listeners.
Well, we're having more and more fun at this, Jerry. It really is. It's a blast for us to even prepare for it. But you've got a request, don't you, tonight?
Yes, I sure do. I'm calling for all of the Eastern pilots out there. A lot of you may know, and some may not know, is that I'm helping to compile a list of all of the pilots that ever flew for Eastern Airlines dating back to May 1st, I think, of 1928, which was old E.R. Gene Brown. And obviously, once we can get this list done, we want to put it up on the memorial plaque out at the airport, providing the airport will let us continue out there. But anyway, I'm calling out there. We've got tons of seniority lists from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, but nothing out of the 1950s. And we want to make sure we include pilots that came and left Eastern in the 50s that may not show up in our current database. So if anybody out there has a seniority list from the 1950s, if they will either send them to me or email me to let me know you've got one, I will scan it and send it immediately back to you in the same condition as you sent it to me. My email address is very simple. The letters E-A-L-E-R, short for Eastern Airliner, E-A-L-E-R at Comcast.net. And if you'll just tell me you have a list and mail it to me, if you're a REPA member, you've got my mailing address, or email me and I'll give you my mailing address, and we'd certainly appreciate it. Right now, we have a total of 6,737 names, and we want to, again, make sure before we are finished with this list that it includes the anybody in the 1950s that may have come and gone in that time period. So I certainly appreciate it. And I understand tonight is a humorous night, and I've got a story for you.
Come on, out with it. Come on, let's
okay.
hear it.
All right, it's a story, Neil, I can't tell because it involves my wife, and she's listening, and I want to put her on. So let her tell this story, and I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, Marge. Oh, great, great. You're going to tell it. All right, go ahead, Marge.
Hi, Neil. It's Marge, and I'm going to tell a story. It happened in the late 70s when Jerry was a junior captain, and one morning he had an early get-up, and he came strutting out of the shower with his towel around him, and I'm in the bed trying to sleep, and he looked at me, and he said, I'll have my coffee now. And my reply was that he wasn't God till he got on his airplane and that he'd probably have to get his own coffee. Well, several months went by, and Jerry asked me if I'd like to go on one of the trips he was flying, and I agreed. And so there I was, sitting so comfortably up in the first-class section, and I'd had the hot towel treatment, and I'd had my drinks brought to me, and I was a smoker at the time, so I was really having a great time enjoying the flight. And it wasn't long before this handsome young man in the pilot outfit came up to me and asked if I was Mrs. Frost. And I was so proud to say, yes, indeed, I was. And then he had a tray, and on it was a cup of coffee and two sugars and a cream with a spoon. And he said, well, he said, I'm here to tell you that God wants his coffee now.
Great, Marge.
So that was my story, and we've told that over and over, and it seems to get a laugh out of most everybody.
That's great. We've got to put that in text so we can put it in our book, Marge. So start.
Oh, goodness. Oh,
start
my
typing.
Those were the good old days.
It was. And ask Jerry this one question, if you don't mind. Ask him what seniority number he started when he was hired with Eastern. I remember mine. Most of us.
Boy, you've got me there, Neil. Let's see. I think I was, it was 1,000, 1,200, something of that nature. You got me off guard, but I'm certainly going to look it up right now.
You're going to find it was a lot higher than that because I was a lot lower than that.
All right. Well, I'm going to look it up right now, Neil. But it's a good trivia question.
Uh-huh.
It's a good trivia question, and I'm certainly going to embed that in my memory.
Okay, and seniority lists were always a very important part of the flight bag, wasn't it? We always kept our seniority list in our flight bag, and you understand why. But thanks so much for calling, Jerry. And Marge, you did a great job. Let's have Marge call back next week. Okay, Jerry?
Oh, I don't know if you want to hear my other stories.
She'll call back.
All right. Thanks a lot. We've got some other callers on the line. Good night, Jerry and Marge.
Night.
Bill, this is Jim Hart in West Palm Beach.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling in. How are things down there?
Everything is fine here. In fact, the letter that you emailed all of us regarding the radio show, I copied, and yesterday we had our Palm Beach chapter meeting, and we had 24 members there, and I gave everyone a copy of the letter that you sent.
Very good. Thanks so much, Jim, for doing that. We appreciate it. And I believe we're going to get 500 here within the next couple of weeks. You know, we're up to 452 members as of tonight. And, of course, my goal is to shoot for that first 1,000 members. And we're doing a great job. You guys are really helping out, Jim, down there. And so you have a good group attending your luncheons?
Yes, we do. And we have a good speaker every week. We had one of the firemen this time telling seniors about some of the problems they encounter. And our people took it quite well. In fact, one of the main things he said was, listen, if you're in the kitchen cooking, do not leave the kitchen at all until you're finished cooking. Because apparently a lot of people find that they have pots and pans that catch on fire because they decide to go on the computer or something else. But I have sort of a funny one I'd like to leave with you, Neil, and it has to do with the introduction of the Electra. I was a sales rep up in Hartford, Springfield, and I was asked by the home office to set up a review of the Electra on one Saturday, and they would send an airplane up. So I found myself on Miss Kitty's romper room program loaded with children. And so I made each one of the boys and girls Eastern Airlines captains and stewardesses. And I said, now don't forget when you go home, tell your mom and dad about the airplane, the brand new Electra we're going to have at Bradley Field. Well, you can't believe the Saturday came, and Interstate 91 runs from New Haven up through Hartford, Springfield, and on into Vermont. Unfortunately, the interstate was jammed, as was the road to get into Bradley Field. They had the state police out there. It was one of the most successful promotions you ever saw. We had a real good time.
Well, only Eastern Airlines could bring out the crowds.
There you go.
Hey, Jim, let me ask a special request, please, at your next meeting. If you will ask some of your members there to remember some of the good stories they had with Eastern, sad, good, funny, whatever. And if they will text it in or either call in, we're trying to put together
a book of thoughts of and memories of Eastern Airline folks. So if you'll just relay that to your crowd, we sure would appreciate it.
I'll certainly do that, Neil, and keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for calling, and good night. We have another caller on the line. Caller?
Neil?
Yes.
Hey, this is Norma up in Tallahassee.
Norma, how are you?
I'm fine. My husband passed away. You know, he was a lead mechanic in pneumatics for many years.
I think I remember you saying that in your email.
And I think by mistake or by happenstance, I was flying to Boston for a funeral, and I had my three-year-old daughter with me. And we were on passes, you know, but they gave us a wonderful seat and all. And it was the inaugural flight of the Electra. And they came through and they said, are you having, I don't know what was on the menu, but it was something very, very elite, you know.
Yeah.
And when she finished with it, just telling us about this beautiful food that we'd get, my three-year-old looked up and said, don't you serve any hot dogs and beans?
Well,
I could have gone through the floor.
Well, you know, you probably remember those famous dinner flights that Eastern used to have years ago.
Oh, I remember one that we came from, one of those real late night flights from San Francisco, and we were wined and dined.
Yeah, we had those famous dinner flights, and we had all the famous restaurants around the Eastern system that catered our flights, and it was fine china, crystal, and silver. Did you serve any of that?
Yes, we had all of that. I wished I had kept some as mementos.
I think I might have a piece or two here.
Well, I have it looks like it was probably a juice glass or a highball glass that someone gave me recently.
I see.
And I'm keeping it as a candy dish. I'm retired and live with my daughter and son-in-law in Tallahassee. You know, Virgil was among the first who had a heart transplant before he died.
Oh my goodness!
He lived 9 years with it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for calling us, Nora, and we appreciate it. And please do call us again, Bud.
Thanks a lot. Good luck. You're doing a good job.
Thank you. Bud wants to say something here. Just a minute.
I remember traveling as a pass rider when I worked for Allegheny, and I remember that great Eastern Cordon Bleu.
Chicken Cordon Bleu.
Chicken Cordon Bleu, man.
Thanks so much for calling, Nora, and we'll say good night. We have another caller waiting.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
I remember those two bottles of wine and chicken cordon bleu. It was delicious.
Caller, go ahead. Hello?
Hey, Neil, it's Tim. How are you?
Hey, Tim. Folks, we've got Tim Nunn, who is one of our sponsors for our show, and you'll find Tim's name of his company, his address and phone number that is on the website, and just go to our website and you can look up Tim, because Tim offers a very special mortgage for those folks that perhaps might need an additional boost with a little bit more money coming in every month. Tim, what's the name of the company so you can share that with us over the radio tonight?
Oh, thank you. Name of our company is South Atlantic Mortgage Corporation, and we do reverse mortgages to help seniors in some tight times, or if they just want to cash out some money. Either way, and if we can, seniors, that'd be great.
Okay, your cell phone, maybe your cell is cutting out a little bit, Tim. But yeah, Tim is in Atlanta, and he does reverse mortgages. Just about anywhere in the country. So if you are in need of a reverse mortgage, and folks, they are not that difficult, and they are very safe means of refinancing or either financing additional funds that a person might need for whatever, medical or even travel. And Tim, are you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm still with you.
Give us your phone number, Tim.
You want to call me personally? It's 678 618-9888, or you can go to the website on Neil's special membership thing, and you can get in and see it on there. There's an 800 number there. You can welcome to call us, and we'd love to hear from you if I can help you.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, Tim. I appreciate it, and thanks for sponsoring our radio show.
Oh, glad to do it. Y'all have a good evening. It's going great, isn't it?
Thank you. Yes, it is. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Good night.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good evening, sir.
Bye-bye. We have another caller.
Yes, am I on?
Oh, who could this be?
Number 2247.
I think Jerry Frost must have warned you about that, Jerry.
Yeah.
Do you remember your
That was my number, Neil, when I first hired on, 2247, October 1963.
Very good. I remember mine. Mine was a little bit more senior, but not much. You were just a few numbers behind me. But,
right. Well, this is Jim Holder.
Jim Holder.
And Neil, listen, I've been listening to these stories, and those people talking about the Electra reminded me of one of my Electra flights one time. I've told it down at the Hunt Club two or three times, Eastern Pilots Hunt Club, and it's called the Gooseneck Oiler. I even had a name for it. And I thought that I might relate it for you guys if you want me to tell you.
Would you please?
All right, it happened way back in 1965. It was a very hot April day. And I hope it's not so long that it turns everybody off. But anyhow, had a layover in Raleigh-Durham, and we showed up at the airport about noon. I was just a child back in those days, and I was flying second officer on the Electra. And as we all know, it was an immediate job to go out there and get the airplane cooled for the captain. And of course, that didn't take much skill on the Electra. It was a great airplane with wonderful air conditioning. We had almost a full load of passengers, and they were boarding for the rear short flight up to New York as I commenced my walk around. Neil, everything looked fine, except I found the number two engine, that's the one right up next to the fuselage on the left wing, was low on prop oil. I think you flew the Electra, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, we know that Electra, if you had low prop oil, that wasn't a good thing, and that's about the only thing I remember from the engine portion of the Electra ground school. You didn't want to run out of prop oil. Well, the captain was Chuck Alton. This was Chicago-based, and first officer was Bob Cook, and they were sitting up in the nice, cool cockpit waiting to take off. I showed up and announced that I discovered that engine was, that prop was low. And he said, Chuck said, well, just go out there and put some oil in it. Well, I knew that Raleigh-Durham at that time didn't have mechanics, so I asked Chuck, how in the world am I supposed to do that? And he said, well, try getting a ladder for starters. And I said, well, so then I whined that I did not know how to do that. Besides, there was a special tube required to put the oil through the hub, and it wasn't going to be one on the airport anywhere. Well, he told me there was a filler plug back there underneath the cowl. Well, I knew I was in trouble then because clearly he knew about that double secret auxiliary method of adding prop oil. I allowed that I didn't have the license to do it. He had to be a mechanic, and he gently told me again to get to work. So I told him then it was just too hot outside. After what he told me, I went looking for a damn ladder, I'll tell you that. But about 20 minutes later, I'm up on this rickety ladder with mine too. Entire tool kit in hand, which, Lee, you recall flying the second officer on the jets. We didn't take much. I had gloves, a little screwdriver, and a little bitty crescent wrench.
Yeah.
Well, while all half the pilot of passengers was sitting there looking out the windows watching me, and I'm up on the ladder, I commenced to open the cowl, and that was a problem, too. And say I was nervous is an understatement. Well, after getting the cowl open, I used a screwdriver to break off the safety wire, and then I attacked that filler plug with my miniature crescent wrench. Well, it slipped off the nut. It went down clickety-clackety down in the innards of the engine with the wires and hoses and greasy places. Down the ladder I went. Not too soon, I had the entire engine available for viewing. And luckily, I did see the wrench. It was on the bottom of the cowl. And upon opening that last cowl, it fell out on the concrete. And I'm here to tell you right now, that was the best thing that happened on the entire trip. At least I had my wrench back. At this time, I was seriously doubting I'd ever get this thing put back together. Back up the ladder I went again. And this time, not only the well-delayed passengers, we were running about 30 minutes late by now, found a way to stare at me, but I could see Captain Alton leaning around, looking back out his window, and probably wondering what he had done to deserve me on this trip. Well, I finally got the plug out, and the baggage boys below passed me up. I don't know, you probably remember back in the 30s they had bulk oil, and they had a gooseneck oiler. And they would fill that thing up with buck oil and then stick it up, hold it up high and stick the gooseneck down into the engine of a car, and they'd pull a lever and all the oil would run down into the engine. That we didn't put in quartz, you know, back in those days. Well, they had that gooseneck oiler they found somewhere back in the automotive shop, I guess, and they had that thing all filled up with 8 quarts of oil ready to be put in this prop oil hole. So I braced myself against this engine somehow, wrapped my left leg around the ladder, grabbed one of the spark plugs or something, and with my remaining hand stuck the gooseneck down into the hole. Can you got a picture of this, Neil?
I got a picture.
I lifted this tank up real high and pulled the trigger. Well, the oil came out the tank just like it was supposed to, and it entered the gooseneck. But at that point, it split like a mountain torrent and counting a boulder in the middle of a stream. Half of the oil went down into the engine, and the other half came down my stretched up arm into and under my shirt, down my side, pretty much staying inside my pants, and pooled into my right shoe. I'm sitting there holding this thing up, and the whole world's watching me. I was concerned that it would overflow and make a mess on the ramp, but it seemed my clothes sopped up most of it, and the shoe was able to contain the overflow. Neil, this is a mess. Well, this seemed to please those baggage boys down there holding the ladder because they were just laughing like mad. Probably they were happy that they wasn't going to have to clean up the ramp because all the oil was in my shoe and pants and underwear. Well, after spreading more oil everywhere from my arm to my hand, I was able to get the filler plug back in. I didn't even think about safety wire. They just get down off of this ladder. Everybody's laughing at me. Somehow I got the cowl closed. Probably not closed good, but good enough. And I headed back to the stairs. I got even with those baggage boys, though, because each step of my right foot left a large area of oil to be cleaned up on the ramp, but that didn't seem to upset them very much. They just continued to laugh and laugh and laugh. Well, I went in the cockpit, and I noticed that Chuck seemed sincerely concerned about my sorry state of affairs because he only slid his seat a little bit to the left when I sat down, or if you can say that, I squashed down. Bob Cook had the same humorous manner as those baggage boys, though, because all he did, he wasn't too worried about the ramp, because all he did was sit there and laugh, too. Well, I must have gotten enough oil in it, because all was fine. We flew up in New York. I could not say the same for my right shoe. I had to buy, you know, you can't just buy a right shoe. I had to buy a whole set of shoes. Probably had bought new. I think I bought everything, but a handkerchief. I think that's the only thing I'm going to have to buy. But I was so worried about what I'd done without a license, without tools, didn't put safety wire back on it. I spent the next 3 months wondering if I should have filed a NASA report. And for those of you that don't know what a NASA report is, that's when a pilot screws up and he don't want to get in trouble. He files this report, and it gets him immunity with FAA, or so they tell us. Who knows? And that's the story of the gooseneck oiler.
Okay.
I hope you liked it.
Oh, I think it's great. Hey, JB, I think about that time they decided there was a memo put out, wasn't there, that we were going to have the gooseneck filler on all of our Electras?
Not me, boy. I had one experience with a gooseneck. I don't want anything to do with it again. Well, all these other people were talking about the Electras, and they gave great stories. I thought I'd tell them a sorry one.
Okay.
Good one.
Well, the night's lecture night. Thanks so much, Jim, for calling. I appreciate it. And Jim is I guess you have the luncheon in Atlanta every.
Oh yeah. We meet. We didn't meet this month because we had a hell of an ice storm up here, and you know, and y'all probably all saw it on news. That's the first time I've ever known our Tuesday luncheon to be canceled. But we meet the second Tuesday of every month at 11 o'clock at the Piccadilly, right there by the airport on Old National Highway. And a lot of times we have a program, and when we don't, we tell lies like you wouldn't believe each other.
Well, I'm sure you've told that gooseneck villain story a few times.
Well, I've told it before. And honestly, you know, any story worth telling is worth improving, and I guarantee you there's very little improving in this one.
Thanks so much for calling, JB. And,
okay, talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think we have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me, Neil?
Yes, I can. Who's speaking?
Steve McDonald.
Hey, Steve, how's everything over in Lake City or where are we, Live Oak?
Well, I'm south of Live Oak and west of Lake City.
Okay. All
little,
right.
Little private airport. a little private airport. It's quiet and peaceful in the middle of dairy country. If I see five cars a week move on my road, I've seen a lot of traffic. I've enjoyed listening to the guys, and each guy that called up, I got a picture in my mind that Jerry Frost called up, and right after Jerry made captain, I had a trip that was a turnaround co-pilot. I was a co-pilot, and went over to Birmingham and back, early morning departure, and then up to Greensboro and back, and I meet Jerry Frost. He's brand new captain. And he's in operations, and he says, do you mind if my dad rides the jump seat over to Birmingham and back? And I said, Captain, you're the captain. Do what you want. So that was how the trip started. And Jerry's daddy rode on the jump seat, and he brought this briefcase of photographs of the days when he was, I believe he was an early Department of Commerce aviation inspector, and I think his pilot's license number was 26.
Wow! Yeah,
I was really impressed with Jerry's dad, and he went over to Birmingham and back with us. That was fun. You know, it's been a long time since you and I were, or at least you were involved with Pilot Realty. You know, that was back when you and I were both co-pilots.
Oh
back
my
on Brown golly. Street Road.
Oh my god! Yeah. You don't want to get me started on that, Steve. Do you still have your steerman?
Yeah, I still fly steerman. I've got a Staggerwing Beach, and I've got a Twin Comanche I use for transport, so I don't have to ride the airlines anymore.
Yeah.
I forget who it was talking and going out to L.A., and can I tell a Dennis Ledbetter story?
Oh, golly, I got to have a Dennis Ledbetter. Folks, I'm sure you'll hear more about Dennis Ledbetter, but go ahead, Steve.
Dennis was co-pilot on 10-11 going out to L.A., and Justin Griner was the captain. And I guess this story got all over the airline. They're on their way out to California, and Dennis at the time was either a general or he was a colonel of the reserve squadron, the Phantom Squadron down in Montgomery. But anyway, they're on their way out to L.A., and they get out to L.A., and Dennis... wife or girlfriend, whoever it was with him on the airplane. Dennis says, you mind if I get off the airplane? And Justin Griner, you know Justin, he was a gentleman.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And he gets, so Justin says, yeah, go ahead and go on and get off. So Dennis walks off and the rest of the crew, the passengers are still getting off the airplane. Well, when Justin and the rest of the crew get out to the sidewalk to catch the car, the crew car, to the hotel, they see the crew car driving off in the distance with Dennis and his wife or girlfriend, whoever, I forget who it was, his wife. The crew car is on its way to the hotel. It's just Dennis and the wife in the car, and the rest of the crew is standing there. So they stand there and they wait. Pretty much the crew car comes back after a while and picks up the rest of the crew. The rest of the crew gets to the hotel, and here comes Dennis and his wife down. They go get their civilian clothes on and said, hey, we're going in the bar. Meet us in the bar. So the rest of the crew goes upstairs, and they change into civilian clothes, and they come downstairs and going to have a drink with Dennis and his wife. Dennis and his wife are all finished drinking, so they get up and leave while the rest of the crew walks in and left them with the bill. So Justin got to pay the bill on that one. So the next day, they're on their way back to L.A., and back to Atlanta. And the flight plan was an arrival over Rome, and Dennis wanted to, you know, do the south arrival over LaGrange, come in over Montgomery. And that way he could talk to his buddies down there at the guard unit down there in Montgomery. So they're on their way back to Atlanta, and Dennis is rattling the papers. He looks over at Justin, and he says, Justin, I think we ought to refile over Montgomery and go in that way to Atlanta. And Justin says, let me see the papers. So he looks at the paperwork. Now the winds favor coming into Rome, and the dispatcher wants us to come in over Rome. We'll just stick with the Rome arrival. Okay. So Dennis is sitting over there, and he's not doing anything. About halfway into the flight, Justin says, I'm going to go back to the head. So Justin gets out of his seat and goes back to the bathroom. Comes back a few minutes later, and he sits down, puts his headset on, looks at the instruments. And he thinks to himself, we're 30 degrees more southeast than we were when I left the cockpit. Wonder what's going on here. So Justin's sitting there. You know Justin, he just he's not going to say anything. Finally, he says, he looks over at Dennis and he says, "What's going on? Where are we going?" And Dennis says, "Oh, ATC refiled us over Montgomery for a arrival into Atlanta." Oh, okay. So Justin's sitting there and he's thinking about that. And he picks up the microphone and he says, "How come you guys refiled us over Montgomery?" And his voice comes back and says, "It was your request, Captain." So Justin, who never lost his temper to anybody except G. Dennis Ledbetter, looks over at Dennis and he says, "Dennis, take off your seatbelt and stand up." So Dennis stands up. He says, "Grab your butt, Dennis. Sit down. Don't touch anything."
Well,
that was one. I got an Electra story on the. You want to hear an Electra story?
Yeah, we've got just a few more minutes, and we'll want to take a few more callers, Steve. But if it's a short one, go ahead.
Tommy Tompkins and I was on the day of Bahamas Independence. I was flying the Electra into Nassau, and that was a big day. They had a big celebration in Nassau. Tommy Tompkins had a special flight. I think Charlie Combs was the co-pilot, and Tommy's over there, and he's hopping very important people and disabled kids and all this other stuff. It was a special flight over there, and he was hopping all the hobnobs over there in Nassau, and. He saw the news media coming, and Tommy grabs this little disabled girl and carries her up the stairs into the Electra. She peed on him while he was carrying her up the stairs. And so, you know, he was real chagrined and got his coat, and he was real chagrined about that. And for weeks after that, every time we saw him in operations in Miami, we'd look at Tommy and say, "Gee, I wonder what that smell is." He didn't like it. He didn't like that at all. Well, listen, I'll leave you with one other thing. We've got our Gainesville REPA luncheons the last Monday of the month at 11:30 in the morning. And it's at La Fiesta Mexican at exit 390 in Gainesville, Florida. I-75, exit 390 right on the east side. And all we have 10 or 12 show up every month. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, folks, plan to pay a visit, and you'll hear more stories, I'm sure, from Steve and some of the other guys over there. And also, all of our chapters, please let us know. Steve, I got you covered on our calendar, and if a person would go to the website and just click on the calendar, it'll show what time and where your meetings are, and also it'll give a map to the folks to get to the luncheon. So we've got that on the website. It's really handy. So I wish more people would take advantage of that. Thanks so much.
You want one more quickie about Raleigh Durham? You remember the honeymoon cottage?
All right, real quick one.
You remember the honeymoon cottage?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, the captain and the co-pilot go into the, it was the stewardess and the captain and the co-pilot. They share.
Just a minute, Steve. Is this going to be a good, clean joke now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, go ahead.
You know, the honeymoon cottage, the captain and the co-pilot shared one room, the stewardess got the other room, and there was a connecting bathroom between. And the bathroom had a transom above the doors. And so the captain says, tells the stewardess, "You go ahead and use the bathroom first." So she goes in the bathroom, and she closes the transom on the pilot's side. And she turns on the water spigots in the basin, and she does her thing. And then when she gets all done, she says, "Okay, I'm done. You guys can have the bathroom." So the captain says, "Okay." So he goes out in the hall, and he got that fire pail off the wall. It was full of water. And he goes into the bathroom, and he doesn't close her transom. He just starts pouring that pail slowly into the toilet. And he poured that thing for about 2 minutes. I can just imagine what the stewardess thought.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've heard a garden hose at a party, the same type of thing. But I appreciate you calling, Steve, and good luck to you on your luncheon meeting. And call in again, please, every chance you get.
Good talking to you, Neil. Bye-bye.
Okay, my pleasure. I've got one that I'd like to share with you that Fran Dowling over in Lake City, same area that Steve's from, emailed me, and I think you'll get a kick out of this, but This is what she emailed me today, and I told her if she didn't call that I was going to read it over the radio show. And she writes the following humorous event that happened to her. It was on a Boeing 727 after a meal service when the captain rang on the intercom and said, "What's for dinner?" At this time, the choices were always the same, chicken or steak. My reply was, "We have chicken, steak, or home cooking." His reply was, "Wow, home cooking? Sure sounds good." We had just finished our cabin meal service, so I took a few used meals and added them together on one tray. I stirred them and in order to make them look just right. The captain then quickly left the cockpit after it was delivered to the captain. I went back to the galley where the other flight attendants had gathered and said, "Watch this." Then I started counting backwards. 10, 9, 8. By the time I got to 4, the cockpit intercom rang and I answered, "Room service." Captain replied, "What did you call that meal?" I said, "Home cooking, just like Mom used to make. Leftovers." He replied, "We'll take two more." Fran, thanks so much for sharing that with us, and we appreciate it. I see Mick is still around. Oh. And, Margaret.
Well, actually, Neil, we do have another caller. So, caller, you're on the air.
Can I speak anyway?
I'm sorry, sir. That part of our show is over, but what did you want to say?
I just want her to know I got her computer off the block so she can come home.
Okay, so I'll let her know. But just so you know, this is not our harmony, or air harmony, as Margaret would say. Anyway, but thanks a lot for calling in, caller.
That was good.
Captain Mick, well, you still in the room?
Oh, I'm sitting here watching everything happen here. I got a couple of quick stories to tell you. Patty was rather sad after viewing a body of a dead atheist. There he was, all dressed up and no place to go. Okay, that didn't go over too good, did it? All right.
Try another one.
We're going to try another one here. That didn't work very well. Here, let's see here. Let's see.
Well, since you're doing that, I'm gonna tell a little story right out of the Best of Repartee, which is a book that we published a while back, and some great stories in it, especially lots of humor from the pilots, the mechanics, the flight attendants, and the reservation type, and so forth. So I want to share this one with you. Flying out of Miami to our northern cities during the winter was an adventure even to seasoned travelers. On one such trip, there was a new flight attendant just out of school. En route, she came up to the flight deck, obviously thrilled and excited about her new career. After being impressed by all the fancy dials and gadgets, she asked the second officer what the temperature was in Boston. He told her it was 17 degrees. She paused and then asked, "Is that freezing?" That jolted the second officer a little, and probably without intending to, he looked a bit shocked and answered, "Of course. Anything below 32 degrees is freezing." She realized she must have said something wrong and explained, "Well, I didn't know. I'm new at this job." But we do have...
Going holding.
We have one holding, and by the way, you are the seventh caller, and you have won the mystery gift. And caller, what is your name?
What is the mystery gift?
Chicken cordon bleu.
Hey, you guys remember a captain by the name of Tommy Tomlinson?
Oh, yes. I think we had just had someone to share a story about Tommy.
Yeah. Well, I got a story to share with you. I am a pilot. I only fly the little tiny planes. But when I was a kid, I flew on Eastern to go down to Florida all the time, go visit my grandmother. And I was 9, 10, 11 years old. I used to fly by myself. I remember he was going down to Philadelphia Airport all the time to go watch the planes take off. There was no security to go through. Nobody fondled me while I was on my way in there. And I flew down one time in first class, and I had, I guess, made an impression because I was talking to the flight crew, and I didn't realize the captain, because I read about him later in the book, The Flight About 407. And he invited me up. Stewardess walks up to me right about when they started serving food, and she says, "Would you do me a favor? Could you give me a hand with something?" I said, "Sure." And she says, "Could you take this tray up to the flight deck?" Where I stayed the entire flight down to Florida, from Philadelphia down to Fort Lauderdale. And they only threw me out for landing. And let me tell you something. I was 11 years old. What a fantastic trip that was.
And I'm sure you're remembering it to this day because it's so vivid in your mind.
It is vivid in my mind. And I remember the captain. He was Tommy Tomlinson.
Okay. Now, we've got to get some information about you, secret caller, because we want to – and Margaret – please.
Yes, sir. Could you give us your name?
Well, I go on Blog Talk by the name of One Angry Jew.
Oh, okay. And one that's a little more legal?
Well, not on the air. You can pull me off the side.
We want to give you our web address so that you can, our email address, so that you can email us, and we'll send this out to you.
Okay, Mystery Caller, the email address is host, at EALradioshow.com.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it. No, okay. I just clicked the follow button on the show. I thought, you know what, this is like Hanger Talk on steroids.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I thought a good name of this show would be Hanger Talk Radio.
It'd be good.
No, I think that is a good name. Hey, yeah, let me ask you, is Tomlinson still alive?
I would have to. I'd have to look in my roster and find out. I just haven't seen that name recently, but I'd have to check. And I can email it to you when you email us that, and I can tell you the status and so forth. And so do that, and I'll share with you.
I'm going to email it. I'll tell you the account I'm going to use. I'm going to email it from pistonpilot@gmail.com. I got to tell you guys something. You guys flew, and it was a great airline. But you guys flew at a time when flying was fun.
Yeah, it really was. I think we flew in the best time. You know, when I was flying, I used to think that the open cockpit days were the best flying, and the especially the war stories of the fights, the dog fights with the old biplanes, open cockpit. Eddie Rickenbacker, of course, being our hero and the first Medal of Honor winner, American ace, the ace of aces. So that's why we still think a lot about Eastern Airlines, because of this man and what he did for our airline, put it together and made us all one big family.
Well, let me tell you, my one cockpit ride that I took, I got to sit in the captain's chair, and it took me another 34 years before I got to sit in the left seat again.
Fantastic. What are you flying now?
The small 300-horse Cessna 172s, T-tail Lances, that kind of stuff.
That's where the fun is, and believe me, I'd take that in a minute. Been away from it for a while now, but thanks so much for calling in, and we're just about to come to
I just caught you at the tail end of your show, and I thought, boy, I got to share that story, because that name is embedded in my mind, believe it or not.
Thanks a lot, and call us back again.
Oh, I will. I got you followed. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, we got one more joke to wrap it up. Okay, Patty was walking through a graveyard when he came across a headstone with the inscription, "Here lies a politician and an honest man." "Faith now," he exclaimed, "Patty. I wonder how you got two of them in one grave." Have a great night, everyone.
Folks, thank you a lot. We appreciate it. And we all say good night.